And our passages from Scripture today do just that, brushing up on the basics of the gospel. Now, if you are a student of history, you will remember Martin Luther's angst, similar to what we apparently find in Romans chapter 7 in Paul. Luther, the Augustinian monk, was gripped with fear and guilt over his own soul. He would go to confession for hours and hours, and then he would leave with a sense of relief. And then as soon as he got out the door, he'd go, "Oh, I just remembered one more thing." And he would be then filled with despair. So Luther's spiritual director said, "Martin, why don't you go and teach Holy Scripture at the University of Wittenberg? Maybe your time in the Scripture will save you from your own anxiety." And so Luther did just that. And his study of Romans led him to the conclusion that the righteous are righteous only because of the merits of Jesus on the cross. That being right before God is a free gift based on faith, not any works that a human being might perform. Most specifically, the indulgences of the medieval church. Now, this brought him a sense of peace. He was able to lay that burden down. And of course, it also started the Protestant Reformation. Now, for five centuries, we have read Paul through the lens of Martin Luther's anxiety. And so we see Paul in Romans chapter 7 talking about how he is struggling with sin. He does what he doesn't want to do, but what the evil inside of him tells him to do. He does not what he wants to do, but what he hates. It is the wrestling against sin. But I believe we are in a different kind of cultural moment. One looks at sin as something from a bygone era, a sad devotion to an ancient religion, to use Star Wars terms. I don't think we should ever jettison the notion of sin. It helps us define what is right and wrong. And in fact, this is Paul's argument in the first three chapters of Romans. The Torah tells you what is right and wrong, but the Torah cannot give you life. The Torah cannot help you do what is right. If people today don't have Luther's angst, what do they have? If they don't talk about sin or think about sin, what is it they think about and talk about? Here's where Jesus comes in. It's what he says about heavy burdens. Always something that we and everyone can hear. The heavy burdens that we carry. I believe we all carry around two kinds of heavy burdens. The first is religious, and the second is personal. Now, the religious burdens might be just the ones that Luther was getting at, or the ones that the Pharisees asked the people to bear. Why don't you just do more? Why don't you just tithe more? Why don't you just pay more? Why don't you just work harder? God is watching you, and he's keeping score. Now, in our culture, maybe we could do a little better with that. Maybe we could have a little bit of that. However, those are not burdens that we want to bear. Those are not burdens that we should bear. How many have seen the movie The Mission? The Mission is about the slave trade in the 18th century in South America. There are Jesuit missionaries who go down to evangelize and build missions for the people, the native peoples. And of course, the Spanish and the Portugal at the same time are taking these people and enslaving them. Well, one of those Spanish slave traders' name is Rodrigo Mendoza. And he begins to take people But he starts to get a gnawing sense that this is not the right thing to do. And on top of that, he gets into a sword fight with his own brother. And he ends up killing him. So he's racked with guilt. So he goes to the church for solace. And he runs into saintly Father Gabriel, played by Jeremy Irons. And Father Gabriel says, I'm going to give you some penance, and I'm going to make you a monk. So here was the penance. The mission that they went to was on a high cliff. And this is where they ministered to the Guarani people. And so what Jeremy Irons, Father Gabriel, did was he put a big bag of armor around Mendoza and put it on his back. So you can almost hear the music as he's going up the cliff. And the other monks want desperately to cut that rope so that they'll fall. But Father Gabriel says, no, let him bear the load. Because it represented not only some kind of penance, but was a symbol of his own regret, a symbol of his own discouragement, a symbol of his own sin. And as he goes up and goes up and goes up, he falls. He goes two steps, he falls four steps. Sometimes I think that we also carry that bag of regret on our back. That we also carry that bag of duty on our back. We also carry those voices that say, why don't you do more? Why don't you pay more? Why don't you work more? You know what your duty is. Why don't you do it? Sometimes we carry that. Jesus says, lay it down. Take my yoke upon you. And learn from me. Jesus is using an illustration here. In ancient times and modern times, the oxen are the ones who are yoked together. And what he's referring to is the practice of the larger, more seasoned oxen with the young bullock. And the young bullock takes the yoke not to carry a load, but to feel what the yoke is like. And in reality, the bigger oxen is the one who is carrying the load. He's carrying the burden. And this is the metaphor that Jesus has in mind. He is side by side with us, carrying the burden of our sins and our regrets while we learn how to walk beside him. Fascinatingly, Jesus uses the same language when he says, take up your yoke and take up your cross. We do not need to live with a heavy religious burden. We come to church to celebrate Christ's work for us, not to carry the burden of regret and failure. How many of you like to carry burdens of regret and failure? It's fun. There is freedom in being forgiven and changed by Christ. If you carry that burden, lay it down. Lay it down. Secondly, there are plenty of other personal burdens, secular burdens that we carry. Our career paths, our children's career paths, our distraction by distraction. Our distraction by information and technology. We are servants to those things. Do you think you're a servant to technology? What do you think? Here's my challenge. Throw this away right now. We'll have a big party. We'll get out all of our cars and run them over. Can we do it?
I can't do it. I need it for work.
True enough, we can't do it. We're servants to it. And it's Denver, so we're also servants to our recreation. Well, when are we going to get away? How are we going to get away? What about I-70? It's going to be crowded this time. It's going to be crowded on the way back. What are we going to do for servants? It's ironic. Matthew chapter 11. Jesus speaks of rest. And then in Matthew chapter 12, he has a dialogue with the Pharisees. He has a debate with the Pharisees. What is he debating? The Sabbath. And his conclusion is, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And Jesus does not condemn Sabbath keeping. On the contrary, he says that he himself is the rest that we seek. When a Jewish person sees you on Friday, the greeting is Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Who knows what Shabbat Shalom means? Shabbat means Sabbath. Shalom means peace. A peaceful, a whole Sabbath. It's a greeting. But it also, you're saying, have a peaceful time. Jesus says, I am that peace. When Christ says to learn from him, he's using a discipleship metaphor. The word for disciple, the word for learn from, is exactly the same one. Learn from me. Rest as I rest, work as I work. Christ rested. He spent many hours with the Father. He spent many hours practicing Sabbath. More than inactivity, this is what he needed to do in order to do God's will. He established a rhythm of work and prayer. The words he says ring so true to us. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Now, rest is not sleep, though we need that too. It is the sense of being at ease. It is the sense of being at peace. It is that Spanish word, tranquila, of being tranquil, knowing that we are walking side by side with Christ. This day, we set aside for that thing. Sabbath, Shabbat, Shalom, walking with Christ. Church should never be something that feels like a job, not even for me. It should never be something that feels like a duty. It should never be something that chafes. It should always be something where we give ourselves to Christ, where we lay our burden down. I love what Eugene Peterson says in The Message, how he renders this passage. He says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. As we have our healing prayer, I would invite you, if you have any of those burdens, personal or religious or whatever, lay them at his feet. Amen.